Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Maseches Bechoreis Daf Lamed. We are holding out the Mishnah, which is around 8 lines from the top of the Amid. So back to our discussion regarding an individual who is known to be lax in certain matters of halacha. And the question is, how much can we trust him? What is his level of trustworthiness? Says the Mishnah, Hechoshed al Hashvius, a fellow who is suspected of being lax in matters of Shemitah. He plants on Shemitah, and or he traffics with Shvius produce in a commercial manner. So although he's not serious about Shemitah, and now we can't really trust him in those matters, but Einoi Choshed al Hamasrus doesn't mean that he's lax and suspected of being less than serious in regards to matters of Meiser. So Rashi says you can buy from him produce without concern that he did not separate, you know, the Masa, the Masa Sheni, etc. So Rashi points out, of course, it's still Demai. It's a bit of an unknown. And there are certain halachas regarding Demai. You only have to attend to it in a limited fashion from a smicer, etc. So we don't consider it like certain, you know, teva, like vadai, untithed. Because just because he's lax about Shemitah doesn't necessarily mean he has the same attitude regarding Meiser. And vice versa. Choshed al Meiser is a person suspected of disregarding Masreis. Einoi Choshed al Shvius, we don't apply the same suspicion regarding Shemitah matters. Each one stands alone independent of the other, and then we'll explain why it is so. Furthermore, Hechoshed al Zeh v'al Zeh, a fellow who is known to be lax in both those matters, Shemitah and Masreis, which are rooted in the Torah Shebichsav, it's min ha-Torah. Choshed al Ataharis, certainly, he's suspected of being lax and disregarding in matters of Tahara, and Rashi explains, we're talking about Tahara is midrabbanon, there's, you know, halacha is midrabbanon about maintaining purity even in ordinary matters of, you know, ordinary materials of chulin. So that's only a rabbinic obligation. If he disregards halacha is min haTorah, certainly he is presumed not to be committed and an adherent of halachis rabbanon like taharis. But on the other hand, just because he takes taharis lightly, that's because it's only with the rabbanon, he doesn't take it seriously. But certainly when it comes to more serious, so to speak, matters like Shemitah and Ma'asres, which are Manat Torah, he complies with that. V'yesh shuchash taharis, we have a case where a fellow, although he's suspected and known to be lax in matters of taharis, which is Rabbanon, but ve'enei choshed lo ya'azev al-azev, but he's not suspected of disregarding matters of min ha-Torah, which is Shvius and Masrus, for example. Zaklal. Okay, so we have the following roundup on the Mishnah. Ha-choshed al-adover, a fellow suspected of being lax in a specific matter. He has no trustworthiness, he has no ne'emanus, lo ya'danai. He can't adjudicate on a matter pertaining to something which he doesn't take seriously. How could you trust him to relate to it with seriousness? Blame me either, nor could he testify regarding that matter. So in the beginning we learned that laxity in Shemitah doesn't necessarily indicate laxity in Masra. Why? My time says the more why. Shvius la bayachayimah, because in his mind, perhaps, Maaser stands higher, is more severe than Shemitah. Why? Shvius l'bayachayma, in contrast to Shemitah material, which can be eaten anywhere, even in an unwalled area. You don't have to be in a city with a wall. As opposed to Maaser, Maaser Sheni, which the Pasuk says, you eat it l'fnei Hashem l'kech in Yerushalayim, in the walls. Given the bayachayma, since you have to sit within the walls. Since that is that added element, that added requirement. So in his mind, Chamorle, it's more severe, more important. Although he disregards Shemitah, but he'll keep Master, and vice versa as well. There's an element in Shemitah which lends to perception that it's more important than Maaser. And there are Choshed al Maasers, if he's suspected of being lax in Maasers, he'll keep Shemitah. My time, why? Maasers lepidyon. In contrast to Maaser Sheni, which you can just redeem and convert to Kedusha, transfer onto money, Shemitah does not have that option. Given the Lesley, given the Kamisra lay, Lesley pidyon since. It's Asr, meaning it's Shemitah's status is permanent, it has no pidyon option. And his mind, Chamir lay, it's more important and stands higher, in which case he'll keep to it. Hachoshed al Zeval Zev, he disregards both matters, certainly in matters of taharis. Why? Given the chosht deraisa, since he's lax in matters of deraisa, kolshkin certainly in matters of taharis, which is only adarabon. V'yeshu chosht taharis, on the other hand, if he disregards taharis, it doesn't necessarily mean he has the same attitude regarding shviyas and maasa, which has been atoyed in my time of why. Need the adarabon lechoshed, since just because he's suspected regarding matters of the Rabbana, which he disregards, but Adai Raisa, Lechoshet, not so on matters of Minatura. But I mean, now comes a Kashan or Braisa, which indicates that even a fellow who's known to disregard matters of the Haris, which is only the Rabbana, he's now suspect of even the Raises. But I mean, Neman al Taharis, Neman al Shvis. Okay, so a fellow adheres to matters of Taharis, and you know he's also trustworthy regarding Shemitah. Let's make an inference, a diuk. But otherwise, if he's not good for Taharis, he's not good for Shemitah either. You don't differentiate. Ha, Chashid. However, if he's suspected of being lax in Taharis, then Chashid on matters of Shemitah as well. Whereas now, Mishnah, we differentiate. Amar Eloi, I'll tell you what's going on. Really, if a person is lax in Taharis, we assume he's lax on other matters as well. So why the Mishnah? Is he not? Amar Eloi Masnisin, the Mishnah is speaking about a unique circumstance. Kishereinu. It's an exceptional case. We noticed. We witnessed. Shenoyeg b'tzinim tech beisei. That in fact, in the privacy of his own home, he adheres. He conforms to matters of Shemitah and Maaser. As Rashi says, in which case, you can't say he's just doing it for show, for appearance. He's doing it in private as well, with nobody around. So once we have that first-hand information, that in fact, he's serious about all these matters, then we can trust him. But otherwise, we can't. Rabbi Yonah Rishmol Omar, here comes the second answer. Really, if he's choshen on Taharis, he can still be trusted on other matters, as we learned in the Mishnah. The Braisa, which says otherwise, that's talking about a unique circumstance. Rabbi Yonah Rishmol Omar, he's going to choshen Tavayu. But at most initially, he was lax on both matters. We knew. He disregards Shemitah and Taharis, and then suddenly he's turning around. He comes to the Rabban, he says, you know what, I'm turning my life around. He accepted upon himself, he committed himself to both matters. Going forward, I'm a conformist. I'm going to keep to matters of Tahara, matters of Shemitah, right? And suddenly, he's backsliding. And suddenly, you start noticing some laxity in one of those two matters. So you use Makabal, let's say, Taharis and Shemitah, and suddenly you see that, you know, Shemitah, it's not going so well. So on the one hand, you can say, okay, but at least he can still be trusted on the other item. The answer is no. Darminan, we deduce from this backsliding that, in fact, you know, either he wasn't really serious on either of them, or he wasn't able, right? So it's more probable to say that he's going back to where he started. That means we say Migo, since the Choshed, since he's suspected of one, he's lax on one, the whole package is dissolved and he's back to square one. Choshed Namia Idach, he suspected of the other one as well, and reversed his earlier status, and he cannot really be trusted on either item. But otherwise, in the standard case, According to this Pshat in the Gemara. But he didn't start off, you know, in a deficit. In this case, he started as a chashad. He's trying to fix himself up. He's backsliding, so we assume, okay, he's back to school. But a fellow who has a proper, you know, track record, good reputation, in this case, just because he's suspected of one, okay, it's one off. But otherwise, he's trusted in other things. If in fact there's room to differentiate, because the other item, you know, is more chashiv, more important in his eyes, as we explained in the Mishnah. Now, this concept that chashad on one item doesn't affect another item. Amar Rava bar Rav Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Zu div Rabbi Akiva Stimta. This reflects the shita of Rabbi Akiva. It was called Rabbi Akiva Stimta. Rashi explains because there are numerous Mishnayos that Rabbi Akadosh compiled anonymously, which reflect Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Okay, so his opinion is reflected now Mishnah as well. That laxity in Shemitah does not indicate laxity in Maaser. Okay, Aval Chacham and Oymer Chacham disagree. We'll see that the Chacham here refers to Rabbi Yehuda. They maintain Chashad al Shviyas. Once a fellow is lax on Shemitah matters, it's over. Chashad al Maaser as well. We assume he disregards Maaser as well. Why? Man Chachamim, who are these Chachamim? It's Rabbi Yehuda actually. And it's reflective of the mindset in his community where they held Shemitah in a very high regard. And if a fellow disregards Shemitah, psh, he's a write-off. The Ba'as Rabbi Yehuda in his town, Shviyas Chamilu. They were serious, very serious in matters of Shemitah. So if he disregards Shemitah, of course, he's suspected of disregarding Maaser as well. In fact, we have a story to back it up. Chavir lo dahu dahu davakar le l'chavrei. There was this discord between two fellows in this town having an argument. So Reuben calls out to Shimon, gives him a less than complimentary title, Dayara Badayarta. The convert, the son of a geyeris, of a woman convert, and some of Farshim actually learned that the true meaning here is a priest. Dayar is a priest, the son of a mother priest. Okay, pretty laid it on pretty thick. Amar Lay, so the fellow responds, and he trumps his insult, and he says, "Tesili, you know what? I deserve credit. At least, the loyachli peiro shviz kavasa. At least, I don't." I don't eat the Shemitah fruit, you know, past expiration date, as you do. At least I'm careful in matters of Shemitah. I have that on my in my cards. Apparently that factor, the Shemitah factor, stood so high in their eyes. And that was the ultimate insult, the ultimate response. Okay, so according to this approach, Shemitah is deemed higher in their eyes than Maaser, and therefore if a person's chashad on Shemitah, certainly disregards Maaser. There was another version of this discussion. Amar Rabba, Bar Bachan, Amar B'yechanan. Once again, he quotes Rabbi Yechanan. Zudiv Rav Kivas Timto. And this is actually a reference to the second item in the Mishnah, where we say Chashad on Maaser, person's lax in matters of Maaser, is not an indication of laxity in Shemitah. So once again, this is reflective. Zudiv Rav Kivas Timto. That's his opinion. Chacham disagree. We'll see in a minute who they are. That's the Rav Meir Shita. They say chashad ala maaser, chashad ala shviz. If you disregard maaser, you're non-conformist, and we can't trust you on Shemitah as well. Why? What's the connection? Uman chacham, who are these chacham? It's Rav Meir. Damar who maintains. If you take matters lightly, even one particular matter lightly, you're labeled as a non-conformist, and we can't trust you on anything. Damar who says. Chashud davar echad. If a person's chashud on one matter, have a chashud, he's now suspected. I cannot be trusted. L'cha atayra kula. Whoa. So you see, all or nothing. In fact, we have another discussion between Amiraim, who seem sort of link up to the same question of two versions here in the interpretation of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yaina, Rabbi Yeremia, these two Amiraim who were Talmidei Rabbi Zeira, Talmidei Rabbi Zeira, Amrila, some say it was Rabbi Yeremia, Rabbi Zeira, who were Talmidei Rabbi Yechanan. And Chad Omar. So according to one, the version was Aval Chacham Oimrim Choshed Al Shvi Is Choshed B'Tzmer Tamid Beis Choshed Al Amayser Macham Arbida. So you had the first version that the Mishnah, which splits between Shvi, Shvius, and Meiser as the Chachamim, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, if he's off on Shmita, he's off on Meiser. Chad Omar, the other one had the other version, perhaps within Rabbi Yechon himself, that it was said like this: Hachoshed ala Meiser, Choshed ala Shvius. That according to the Chachamim, once he's lax on Meiser, he's also lax on Shmita. Who's that? That's Rameir. Umachacham Rameir, right? Who maintains that once he disregards one item, he can no longer be taken seriously on everything. Now, where do we find this opinion of Rameir? This Sanya, the following verse. Am Aretz, okay, an unlearned fellow of the days of old who was known to be lax in matters of tahara, of purity, decided to upgrade. He wants to join the Chaver club. It was a class of people called Chaverim who maintained higher standards. It's worthwhile to see the Rashi inside. Rashi, three lines from the top. Divrei Chaveris Mefarish B'Tesefta Mesechas Demai. What comprises the Chaveris lifestyle? Shalit in Truma Maaser Lam Oretz. He's not meant to give Truma Maaser Tam Oretz, who's known to be less than careful in maintaining their standards, maintaining their tahara. Vishalei asataris et lam oretz, nor should he interact with the am oretz, with food, with taharis. Vishiyachun tahara, he consumes his own chulin in a state of purity, right, which is a high level of living. Rather, Ramban actually brings in the beginning of the last week's parsha, Kadesh Tiu, he says that a person should maintain higher standards of sanctity, and included in that is to maintain tahara. Although you're just a Yisrael, you're not even a Kayan, right, who has the obligation to maintain, but maintaining tahara in life is a mile, it's an advantage. And that's what the Chaverim would do. He takes off ma'aser from what he eats and also from what he gives to others. Okay, so they maintain high standards in matters of ma'aser, in matters of tahara, and Amoris is deciding to turn his life around. He wants to be one of the club. Interestingly, by the way, the Rambam, in Pirush HaMishnah, Masechas Demai, on the discussion of Chaveris, he asks, why is it called Chaver, friend? He says, because that's the true friendship. He says, the Chaverim are called Chaverim because that is the true friendship. He says, V'pnei shechavrusam ne'emana. It's faithful, it's true. It's real, it's genuine. It's spiritual, it's a spiritual bond. It's a ava, right? She'enet lui b'davar. It's the only true, genuine connection between people if it's a spiritual association. Because spirit is one. Hashem Echad, unifies. In any case, so he decides to join the Chaver club. V'nechshal davar echad. And suddenly we see that he's not really living up to it in one particular matter. Nechshad d'chalat terakula. That's it. It arouses suspicion on any matter that he may be involved with. Divrei, Rabbi Shemeir's opinion. Chashad for one matter affects everything. V'chacham ayrim, no. Eino nechshal oisa davar levad. On this matter that he's being lax with, fine, but otherwise he still maintains his reputation. The Brisa continues. Hager shekibul lov divrei Torah. A fellow converted, committed to a full Torah lifestyle, and after the conversion we see he's not really keeping. Afilu nechshal lover echad, even if it's just one matter that he's taking lightly, that's an indication of lack of seriousness. Havei chashed, chater kula, going forward, can't trust him on anything. Now some say all agree, even the Chacham agree in this case, since he didn't really grow up with it, it's an indication that he's not taking it seriously. But the fact is Once a Jew, always a Jew. Since he was Makabel, he committed, and he became a Yid, so even though he's veering off, he has the status of a, you know, Yisrael renegade, very Yisrael Mumar. But he still has the status of a Yisrael, Naf Kamina. The difference will be, I mean, what's the difference whether we call him Yisrael or not? The Kaddish, suppose he's Makaddish, engages a woman, Kaddish with Kaddish, has validity, like Yisrael. So even though he's not conforming, not living up to his obligations, but technically he's still Yisrael. Tan Rabban. Habol Kabbali Bechaviris. Chuzm Dover Echad. Okay, speaking on this matter of undertaking to becoming a Chaver, the Gemara going forward will explain the specific steps, the process involved. Habol Kabbali Bechaviris, a fellow was interested in joining the Chaver club. Okay, I'm fine with everything, except Chuzm Dover Echad, one item is too difficult for me. I can't, you know. Eim Makabon Oisai, we don't invite him into the club. It's a full package. Likewise, a guy who wants to accept upon himself a Torah lifestyle, except for one matter, once again, you're out. He takes it a step further. Even if he's unwilling to commit to one enactment of the Chacham, afilu diktuk echam divrei seifrim. It's called diktuk because Rashi calls it Chumr d'Rabbanan. They, you know, they upgraded, they added stringency over the Torah. Others learn, it's actually a Rashi Masechta Sukkah. He learns that Diktukei Seifrim was called Diktukei because the Chachamim delved into the mindset, the mentality of the people, of the community, to figure ways to protect them from transgressing matters of Isuri Deraisa, and that's why they enacted takanes, fences, so to speak, gzeres, takanes, based on their understanding of the human psyche, to protect us from, you know, sliding into Isuri Deraisa. Diktuki Isuri from a person is unwilling to accept even one of those, we don't accept him as a ger. Likewise, a Levi. You ever know a Levi has to commit to the Levi club, to the Levi, you know, lifestyle? Levi is coming before us to accept upon himself the Levi lifestyle. Rashi says he'd like to, you know, sing in the choir, play an instrument, right? So if you want the opportunity, you want the privilege, you have to be committed to the cause, to the lifestyle, and all the halachas and everything. Likewise, the kohen who's coming to commit to the kahuna standards, likewise, he has to undertake everything, all the halachis. He has to believe and commit himself to all the details and the intricacies of the avodah and everything like that. So if he takes upon himself everything except for one item, chusm davar echad, ein makabel lo'isa, we don't accept it. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, hamakar v'zama shlomim, the pasuk continues, v'mnei aron, right, my fellow, is makriv, right? Money is entitled to the perks of the matanis kahuna. We learn from there. Only a fellow, a kohen, who's committed to the full system, avoda, amsurah bnei aron. He's committed to the avoda, which is given to bnei aron to do. Kol kohen she'enei moedimov, a kohen doesn't acknowledge, not willing to commit to the whole system. Ein loy chelik b'kahuna. He has no part. He has no. He will not be included in the club, and he will not be entitled to get the gifts and the matanos. According to the Rambam, even like Pidyon HaBen, things which are not Migdash related, he's not entitled. Unless he's fully part of the club. Tan Rabbanan. Habol Kabbal Dibur Chaveris. So a fellow is now going to become a chaver. Okay, what is there a training period? I mean, how long does it take for it? So it depends. Imro Yinu Shunay B'tzinim Tech Beisa. If we have first-hand information, first-hand knowledge that, you know, we noticed him conducting himself on this higher standard in the privacy of his home before having come to us for that formal, you know, acceptance. Then we can accept him, give him a card. And then we, you know, train him in on the job because we know that he's serious, he's sincere. Any question, he'll come ask us. But otherwise, if he doesn't have that prior experience, then sure, we accept him, but Malam Denoisei. First we train him in, and then we can make him an official party member. Either way, we can accept him and then train him on the job. He can learn as he goes along. We trust him that he'll keep to the system. Now, part of the chaverus lifestyle was to maintain pure hands. Typically, one's hands have a status of a shein l'tumah. Unwashed hands, there's a status of a shein l'tumah, midrabanan, they're matamei truma. A chaver would maintain purity, and his hands were considered tar. Now, if a fellow wants to be mekabel just that aspect, I'm going to be careful to keep my hands pure, keep my hands tar. You can do that. V'chankach mekabel taharis. And then when he's ready, he can go to the next step and commit to the broader taharis commitment to maintain tahara and all his materials and etc. But you can do it, you know, piecemeal. But let's say he says, likewise, if he says, I'm only planning on stopping here, doing the hands thing, but nothing else. Yeah, that's also sufficient. Okay, because knafayim is sort of a standalone, independent element of this you know, chaver system, and you know, it's okay to do part. But kibbalah taharis, suppose he committed to the broader lifestyle regarding taharis all around, v'loy kibbalah knafayim, but he says, you know what, hands, that's too difficult for me to keep my hands clean. It's a non-starter, because if your hands are impure, then anything that you touch, you can't, you know, it's not going to be practical. Afal taharis lekibbal, then his commitment on taharis is not really going to hold water either. Tanu rabbanan. Ad kama mekabel ma'aseh. Okay, so he went through the first acceptance stage. He was miskabel. He's part of the club. Now, at what point can we, you know, sort of actually trust him? Does he need, you know, to establish himself and his credibility? Tanu rabbanan. Ad kama mekabel ma'aseh. B'sham oimer lamashkin, regarding status of his drinks, of his liquids, which can become a tummy, but it's only the rabbanan. Shloshim yom. So over there, it's sufficient. He establishes himself as a, you know, for 30 days to gain credibility on that, so that his liquids are considered tar. But luxus, regarding the status of his garments, where the concern is tumah min ha-Torah, that requires a longer training period. Shnei Masa Chodesh, we see that he's you know, maintaining this higher standard for 12 months. So going forward, his begotten have a tahara status. Whether it's liquids or clothing, you need 12 months to establish yourself. Ask the Gemara, in which case Beisilil is more strict than Beishamai. If that's the case, Beisilil is another example where Beishamai are lenient. They hold that 30 days is enough for a mashkin, and Beisilil are machmer 12 months. So why isn't it listed in the listing in Maseches Edyos, where we have merely a total of 6 items? You see, typically the Silul was made as a chesed, more lenient in their approach to learning and psak. 6 exceptions are noted in Maseches Edyos. Well, if this is another one, it should be 7. Ella, rather, the correct version is that Bisil Oimrim, whether it's Mashkin or Glixus, it's L'Shloishim, 30 days is enough, in which case they're actually being lenient, which is consistent with their general, you know, positions. Simon Chaver Talmud Chilas Meches Chazuk Gabi Ba'atzma. Tanu Rabbanan. Further on the topic of the Chaverus acceptance process, Tanu Rabbanan, Chabol Kabbali Chaverus, a fellow is holy by committing to the Chaverus system. Tzorach L'Kabbal Fein Shlesh Chaverim. He has to stand before 3 Chaverim, who already achieved that status, and commit to formally in their presence. But that only applies to the head of household. His children need not come personally. They're sort of part of the package. We assume that they also adopted their father's standards, and they need not accept personally on their own. Ubanov, Nebeso, his family, they don't have to make that special Kabbalah. Rama Shimon, he says, no, just because a father is committed doesn't mean that it affected everybody in the family, unless you know. They too have to come and formally declare their commitment to this lifestyle. Lefi, because Shein Adam, you can't compare the Chavar Shekibol, the Chavar, the actual father who's Makabel, Leben Chavar Shekibol, to the kid. You want him to come and declare outright that he's committed personally, in which case that would spur him to a more serious regard to these matters. Okay, again, so the commitment to become a chaver has to be done in front of three chaver. And here comes a chiddush, even a learned fellow, a talmud chacham, who already achieved high status in spirituality, has to commit in the same manner, to have that formal commitment in front of three chavirim, that going forward he's going to be careful in these specific matters of tahara, etc. But if he's zakim v'shiv yeshiva, he's a renowned, you know, leader, he's a big talmud chacham, a member of the bezdin, according to some opinions, according to others just means he's a rosh yeshiva, he has a high position of disseminating Torah. In this case, he doesn't have to go through his formal process. Why? Because he already committed to this process when he was appointed to be a member of the Bezdin or the Rosh HaYeshiva. So he need not do it again. Abba Shol Omer, he disagrees. He says, even he's not an outstanding, noted personality. A plain Talmud Chacham. We assume they maintain higher standards. He's more spiritual in his lifestyle. He doesn't have to make that, separate, formal declaration in front of the Chavir. Furthermore, Talmud Chacham is good for himself and also to certify other newcomers to the club. Amar Bechna. You're probably wondering why, according to the first opinion, do we obligate a Talmud Chacham? He's already established as a spiritual person to go ahead and burden him to go before three Chavirim and formally declare. Why is that needed? The answer is what we were talking about, it's referring to a very specific time in our history when they were very machmer, the Kohanim were very strict in matters of Tahara, and they didn't accept anything less than absolute formal declaration all across the board, no matter. Regardless of your credentials, we may benoin the days of the son, Shel Rav Chanan Tignois, who was a kohen. Nishnis Mishnazu. That's when this halacha, this mishnah, was presented, which is illustrated in the following story: Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi. So these two tanoim, istapaklu milsa b'taharis, had a question regarding taharis. Okay, they were looking for an expert. Shad Rabbanus, they sent some chachamim, legavi bnoi, to the son of Shabchanim Antigmas, who was a kohen, who they assumed would be very familiar in matters of Tahara, which was the, kohen's expertise. Okay, Azilu, Amalei, so they traveled over there and they presented him with the question, La'ayimba, to please look into the matter. Sorry, Azilus, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi instructed their emissaries, Azilu, go ahead, go travel, and relate to him our question. Azilu, Imrulei, La'ayimba, ask him to look into it. Okay, Ashkechor, they arrived at his place, and they noticed that he was carrying the kohatoin, he was carrying taharis, matters, materials, food, which are tar. Okay, and they presented, their question to him. But he didn't trust his visitors with the materials. In fact, he appointed, guards to watch over them. Oisiv Rabbonim Ididei, so he placed some of his chachamim, who were chaverim, ligabayu, alongside the guests, to keep an eye on his food, to maintain its tahara. He didn't trust his tamid chachamim guest. He had his own people. He went ahead and he got up to look into the matter, and then he gave him an answer, and they went back home. Also, they came back to their senders, Rabbi Rabbi Yosi, and they related how they were, treated or mistreated by their host, who apparently didn't trust them in matters of Tahara, which was surprising to them. Amrlo Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda responded in sort of like a disappointment, he says, Avim Shalzeh Bizot Amin Chachamim. It must be coming from his father. His father also disregarded, disrespect Amin Chachamim. He's also keeping that tradition, Afu Mavat Amin Chachamim. Right? His father did it, Afu Mavat Amin Chachamim. He wasn't very happy with what he perceived as a mistreatment of Amin Chachamim. Amar Rabbi Yosi, so Rabbi Yosi responded, no. Kavod Zaken, the honor of the elder, of the Chacham, of the father and the son, is deserving. It's in place. Meaning, let's not take it personally. They have higher standards. There's an extra, level of meticulousness that was being implemented from the time of the Churban. Perhaps during the standing of Beis HaMikdash, people were more careful, more knowledgeable, and aware. But afterwards, El Miyam Shulchan Beis HaMikdash, after the destruction of the Mikdash, Nohagu Kohanim, the Kohanim conducted themselves sulsul with a very high standard ba'atzman regarding their matters of Taharam. Hence, this super high standard, not to even trust anybody, regardless of who you are. So it wasn't personal, it was just a blanket. System, Shein Moisrin, as a Taharis Chal, they would not trust anybody with Taharis. And in fact, that is what was reflected in the Brisa earlier, where we demanded that even a Talmud Chacham go be Makabel in front of three Chavir in a formal declaration. It was reflective of that time period because of their super high standards. Tanur Rabbanan. Okay, so we have a Chavir, it was an established Chavir. Now, his family is also to be trusted, right? I explained. Tanakama maintained they don't have to have their own personal commitment. They're part of the family. They're also on the same track. Now, let's say he passes away, the head of household, Chaver Shemes. Does that affect his family status? No. Ishtoi, Ubonov, Nebesa, his family, his wife, kids. They're still to be trusted, right? They're presumed to have maintained that same lifestyle unless you know otherwise. Unless you suspect and you see otherwise. Another example, you have a store in a chotzer there that they sell tcheles, a place where they distribute the blue wool for the tzitzis. Okay, so it was established as legitimate tcheles. So you assume that the material being sold there is tcheles, unless you know otherwise. It's impossible. There's a chesed kashrus unless you've discovered that they're selling, fakes. They're selling, imitations. Rashi says there was a big temptation, right? The Gemara in Menachos, a big temptation to forge the tcheles, which was very, very expensive, very unique, with color ilum or some sort of other blue paint, purporting that it's tcheles. So you had to have certification, a heksher, to ensure that it's the real thing. And we assume it is so, unless, right, once it's been established as tcheles, we assume it's so, unless you know otherwise. Tanur Rabbanan, Eishes Amoritz. So the wife of Amoritz, who did not have chaver status, right, she nisses the chaver, now she's married to a chaver. What's her status now? Does she get an automatic upgrade? Another example, V'chein Bita, Shalom Amoritz, you have the daughter of an Amoritz, who doesn't have chaver status. She is the chaver, now married to a chaver. What happens to her status now? V'chein avdush l'amoretz, or the servant of an amoretz, who is now sold to a chaver, shnim kol a chaver. Kulon, all these cases, shrichon l'kabel, tibi chaveris betchila, they have to undertake chaveris, a formal undertaking. It is not assumed that they're now on the chaver track just because they're in a chaver household. They didn't grow up with it, so let's not assume anything unless they actually take on a formal commitment. Avol, however, in the reverse, Eishes Chaver, if she was already married to a Chaver, and already maintained that higher lifestyle, and now Shinis Lamoritz, she's married to Amoritz. Another example, Chembita Shel Chaver, the daughter of a Chaver, Shinis was now married to Amoritz. V'chein, likewise, Avdi Shel Chaver, Shinimka was sold to Amoritz. In these cases, since the have already established a track record of chavrus, ain't shrichin lekabel b'chavrus b'tchil. They don't have to reestablish themselves anew, despite this new environment, which is not necessarily conducive to chavrus. But since they have already lived that lifestyle, we assume it's intact unless proven otherwise. Rameh disagrees. A person is affected by his environment. Rameh Omer, Afein Tzrichon Lekabel Endi V'Chaveris B'Katchila. They lost their status unless they reestablish themselves. In fact, we have a story to illustrate it. Rav Shimon Elozo Omer, he quotes Mishum Rameh, Maisa, in fact, it was a story. Be'isha Achat, this particular woman, Shinis L'Chaver. Initially, she was married to a Chaver and fully supported him and his lifestyle. Voice of Kemas, and she would help him, tie up places, tefillin, like tefillin al yada in his hands. So here she was heavily invested in matters of holiness and mitzvahs. And then, next stop was the Amor. This is, she remarried to Lama Oretz, and she got involved in his illicit businesses. Voice of Kesheris, like Kishre, Moiches al yada. She would tie him these receipts. Moiches was the tax collector. It wasn't necessarily known as the most honest individual. They would overcharge, they would blackmail, they would manipulate. So she was involved in his mechas business. So what do we see? That's all about the setting and the environment, right? The person is influenced by his surroundings. So she's now married to Amaris. You got to reinvestigate her record, her matter, her commitments. Revisit her status. So in order for her to become a chaver again, she has to recommit. I mean, a kabbal in a formal kabbal. Okay, so in a nutshell, we learned about a fellow being lax in matters of Shemitah. It's not an indication of laxity in Master and vice versa. And the rule of thumb is that just because he's lax on a matter which in his eyes is not as important as the other item, doesn't mean have the same attitude as the other item. Turns out that Rameir holds that we don't differentiate. Chashad on one thing is chashad on everything. Rabbi Yehuda maintained a similar approach regarding Shemitah. Shemitah in his place was like supreme, so if you disregard it, you're off the mat. We speak about being mekabel with sincerity, whether it's to become a chaver, become a ger, become a levi, a part of the levi family, the kayin crew. We spoke about the timing and the processes involved in becoming a chaver, training period, the extent of his kabbalah. Front of three chaverim, the shaila whether Talmud Chacham has to have a special kabbalah or not. We spoke about the family of a chaver maintaining its status, and the Eishes chaver of Namari Tama Oretz, whether or not she's presumed to still have chaver standards. Okay, Suras Tavis, all the best to you, and much, much haslacha.